Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at the 6-issue series Spider-Man Blue by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Let's go.
I'm never going to get this timing right.
This is always a little bit of a remix.
Thing is, I can fix it for the podcast,
right?
Because I can just change the length of the MIDI trigger.
Uh-huh.
But I always react to it, and if I fix it, people are going to be wondering why I keep complaining about my performance
you
over here.
Finally nailed it.
So I just leave it.
Become bored. Yeah. Let us know if you like the variety of the intro music every single episode.
Because I've gotten it right like one time, I think.
Yeah, that was a nice time. Oh, I forgot to get water. Hope my throat doesn't get scratchy. Gulp, gulp, gulp. How goes it, my friends?
It's good. Feels like I just saw you guys because I just saw you guys like 3 days ago.
Yeah, I guess it's been about 3 or 4 days since we last recorded. Was it 3 days ago?
It was on Sunday.
What is today? Today's Wednesday. Thank you, poor John. We have some exciting comics to cover today. We're covering Spider-Man Blue by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. This is a 6-issue run that will be familiar if you've read comic books in general that have Spider-Man in them, but it has a nice touch to it, I think. Before we get into that, though, what you been reading, yo?
I have been reading some. Even though we only met the other day, I got to go to the shop to have something looked at in my car. And I took what Alex got me for, I don't know if that's in focus or not. What Alex got me for Two Man Christmas.
Yes.
The Department of Truth, Volume 1.
How is it?
James Tynion, Martin Simmons, letter Aditya Bidikar. Anyway, it was really good. I will say the spiciness rating of this is significantly high.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody, but I loved it. I was sitting there reading it while I was waiting. And like, as soon as I got home, I was just, cause I made it like through the first two books. And I sat down and just had to keep reading it, and it was really good. I can't talk about it without completely spoiling everything.
Yeah.
Just know that.
Maybe you can read the back.
Let's see.
Called?
Cole Turner has studied conspiracies all his life, from flat earth theory to the assassination of JFK to modern day crisis actors. But he isn't prepared to live in a world where collective belief. No, that's already given too much away. So it's because like, I feel like every issue gave you insight to where like, you're like, huh? I actually, if I had been drinking, I might've had a spit take for every, every issue at some point. And it might just be because I was programmed for it, but it's good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it right here and both of you need to read it.
Cool.
It doesn't matter who first. I would say that Torrance, as I was reading it, it made me think a whole lot of pseudophiles at various times. So I think you would really enjoy it. I know you would too. The art is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's why it's like Simons. It was just artist. It wasn't like pencils, inks.
Right.
He
did it
or
all.
They did everything. And it's beautiful, like watercolor type stuff. And super like expressionist.
Yeah.
And sometimes like where I'm uncomfortable looking at some of these images, but that's kind of the point.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah.
I had not read it when I bought it. I just kept in comic book Twitter. Mm-hmm. Everybody was raving about it.
I looked. You got praise from Kieran Gillen, Scott Snyder, and Brian Michael Bendis on the back. So, that was the beginning of one I want to talk about in the next
Who
one.
Else better to praise your comics? Yeah.
So it's really good. If you want something gritty, if you want something that tackles some very like dark issues, some things that like as I'm reading it, I'm like, huh. You know, I've always wanted to be a conspiracy theorist, and this was fodder for the fire. So
what a hilarious thing to say.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not, it comes with there's a game that I'm playing with Torrance right now. Mm-hmm. And my guy that I play in there is a conspiracy theorist because I want to believe that aliens are out there. I want to believe that the government covered up Area 51, all that stuff. But I don't have the time to devote to the forums and everything like that. So I don't. I just pretend.
Faux show.
So that's what I think. I may have read some other stuff, but in fact, I know I did. But what you been reading, yo?
I have not read any comics since we last met. Sans the stuff that we are covering today and for the next episode. So that would be Spider-Man Blue and then the first five issues of what is that actual run? Is it Spectacular Spider-Man? Hold on.
I'm going to race you there. I'm going. Oh, no, I didn't make it.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
God, the Amazing Spider-Man.
Nick Spencer.
By Nick Spencer.
First five issues.
First five issues.
Yeah.
From 2018.
Yeah. So I read those just in preparation for this. And otherwise, Katie, I almost said begged. She absolutely did not beg me. She told me that I would probably like this book that she had just finished, like a book. It's called Bear Town.
She finished it while we were reading or watching Captain America together. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started reading that. I'm like seven or eight chapters in. It's good. It's Frederick Bachman, I think is the author. Is that correct?
No idea.
Frederick Bachman, I think, is his name. And it's about a small town in this forest up north somewhere. And they have like this really good junior ice hockey team. And that is the only good thing about this town. Everything else is just like they have nothing to be excited about. But for some reason, it just happened to be that their ice hockey team is really good. And I'm starting to find out that they're about to play this big game for a championship that if they win, we'll put them at the top of the list probably for this new hockey school. Kind of like you know how in England or in Europe in general, they have like schools. Wow. They have schools for soccer. Like it's a high school, but it's like understood if you're going to this high school, you're being trained to go be a professional soccer player one day. Hmm. So it's the same thing for hockey. They're trying to get there, and then it's like maybe they're going to see what kind of shady things the community will do to make sure that their town is selected. The very first page says something about somebody walking into a forest with a shotgun and shooting somebody in the face, and then it's like, this is how we got there. Chapter 2 starts. So pretty intense so far, but... good. I'm going to actually read some other comic books tonight. We usually have a much longer spread between episode recording, so I'm usually able to squeak a couple in, but not this time. I have failed, ye.
Well,
I've read comic books.
I don't know why. I just apologized. I just said I'm sorry.
You should be. Tori, what about you? What you been reading, yo?
Well, I read Sweet Tooth, the first two volumes of that anyway.
Yeah.
Dang, Tori.
I read those like in the day,
Thoughts? Really good. It's much darker than the TV show.
I still haven't watched the TV show.
The TV show is good. The kids are adorable in that, and they are not adorable in the...
You've also read...
Yeah.
Jeff Lemire...
There's even like a current, like Sweet Tooth Returns or something that is ongoing.
Oh,
I read the first one of that.
Shows out, yeah. Right? Yeah. Isn't that a lot? How many volumes are there?
I think there was a total of 40 issues. Does that sound right?
I think I say 40 volumes.
Yeah. Because I think that there was six volumes. And then the return.
I feel like it was 35 or 40. I mean, I started reading it and got into it and basically read it over the course of a day and a half off and on. It is handy. That's one of the things I like about indie books where you can just pick one up and read it and you don't have to worry about the rabbit hole, you know.
Right.
You just read it and go. So, but yeah, that's cool. It's a good one.
Anything else before we jump into some some Spidey Man. Why don't you tell us where we can find our social media accounts?
Oh, yes. We'd love it if you joined our Discord, link down in the show notes and description of this video if you happen to be watching it in that format. Lots of comic book chat there, questions of the week, things like that. Also, find us at patreon.com/2manComicBookClub with the number 2. If you'd like to support us, it'd be awesome. You can find us, just like shoot us a tweet at 2manComicBook with the number 2, or find us on Instagram at 2manComicBookClub. Well, basically just search 2manComicBookClub, yeah, and you can find us.
I've searched for us recently. Ways. It's getting easier to find us. Yeah. We're popping up in search results way near, more near the top if you type us in. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. That's my social handle for everything. It's even my email account. Don't email me.
Because my social media is so convoluted, just go to DrewMorrisMusic.com, yeah, and you can find a way to reach out.
Tori, where can they find you?
You can find me at Drew Morris Music, just anywhere on the web.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great.
Obviously, yeah. Cool. So, Spider-Man Blue. This is a 6-issue series. They actually have...
2002.
Yeah, so it's old at this point. It's 20 years old now. Wow, didn't even think about that. This is definitely one that comes up in a lot of lists of, mm-hmm, like some of the more essential Spider-Man reading.
That's basically what I did whenever I was like, hey, what Spidey could we cover? And I just cross-referenced a couple different lists. Mm-hmm. This one popped up in a few. Back to Basics popped, yeah, up in a few. Craven popped up on all of them. And,
so. Yeah. So this is Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Let me see if I can get the actual credits for everybody, the whole gang. Where is it?
It's not showing up.
Is this another comic book?
Ron Zimmerman?
There we go.
Also, Greg, what?
Where are you?
I don't remember any of these. Greg Capullo? Danny Mickey? Dan Kemp? So many. I don't know if this is accurate or not. Maybe we'll find it whenever we get to the first.
Hold on, it's actually in the detail. Oh, you're looking. Is that what you're looking? Is the,
yeah, and it has so many people that I didn't remember.
Issue 1. Yeah, Jeff Loeb, Ron Zimmerman, Greg Capullo, Tim Sale, Danny Mickey, Dan Kemp. This could have been one of those things where like deadlines had to be met. So they're like, hey, we need you to color these 3 pages, or you know, letter these, or who knows. Anyway, so we're going to cover this again, kind of higher level. It seems to have been working out, like just the flow of everything. We'll kind of give you a big picture idea of what's going on. We, as always, encourage you to go through and actually read these. Is this the right issue? Book 1.
Starts with him all in blue.
Is there a different cover? Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad. I'm a dummy.
You said it, not me.
Essentially, this run kind of runs the gamut of what Spider-Man's done.
Yeah, because
so,
he's looking back.
Yeah, he's actually sitting, and we find out on the very first page that Peter Parker is sitting down with a recorder.
Well, I will say, we didn't find out he was sitting down. In my mind, like I just read it and thought he was talking, and this was whenever I read the first issue a while back. And when I came back to it, I realized, oh, there's like a click whir. So he's like talking into a tape recorder. I was imagining him doing this as he was swinging around.
Yeah.
But in the very last panel of like the last book, we see that he's like sitting up in an attic talking to like an actual old school tape recorder.
Right.
And that kind of, I was just like, man, I wanted to imagine that he somehow had like a micro cassette recorder
very tape stable
inside his mask.
Yeah. So he's recording into some old tape recorders through this whole series. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of recollecting on his life, and he's talking to Gwen Stacy, who has died at this point.
Yeah.
And this whole series kind of reads as a love letter to her.
Yeah.
And at the same time acts as a means for us to like kind of get a recap on everything that he's been through, not just with Gwen Stacy, but also kind of how he came to be with Mary Jane.
I get the feeling that the timing of this was to snatch a few readers that enjoyed the Tobey Maguire movie when it came out. And they were like, hey, let's capitalize on this and give everybody a quick recap of some of the big bads that Spider-Man has met in the past, starting with the one that they just saw in this very same movie.
Right.
Because we see him zipping around. He drops a little rose on top of a bridge. I'm assuming it's the bridge that Gwen Stacy was thrown from.
Right.
And he leaves a rose. He says, I visit this every year. I don't tell anybody about it. And then, boom, he's talking about whenever he fought Green Goblin. And I've never, like, this might be one of the first times. Well, like I said, I say I'm a big Spider-Man fan, but I didn't read anything other than just, like, random issues until we started Spidey Month.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of Spider-Man comics, so.
I mean,
it's fair.
I just look at this and the way that Green Goblin is portrayed in this, and I'm like, wow, yeah. That is truly Goblin-esque. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it thinking that it was some sort of mutation. No, it's actually just a mask.
Just a mask.
So yeah. Anyway, he's fighting him. Peter is tied to this chair, and he's being his typical Peter Parker quipping self. But long story short, over the course of the fight, he breaks out, and Green Goblin gets knocked out by one of his own pumpkin bombs, whatever.
Yeah, this was a cool shot.
And Peter takes the mask off, and it's kind of like we've seen, actually, going back since I've just recently rewatched all of those Spider-Man movies, mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to see. It is the Raimi movie, and even No Way Home are like, right. More true to the psychosis, or whatever the term would be, for what's going on inside Norman Osborn's mm-hmm. head than I would think, because he's like, he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
He's
a little bit of a dual personality kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah. It's just like something's locked behind a wall. He doesn't know
right.
what the other half of his life is doing. So Peter decides, spur them on. He was like, I could let Green Goblin die right here mm-hmm. and my problems would be over, but I can't do that.
Right.
So he takes him out, talks to the firemen. They're like, what happened? He's like, Green Goblin's dead, you know, but get Norman Osborn to the hospital.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. And he's going to talk to J. Jonah Jameson about, you know, selling some of these pictures that he took, and gets tipped to, you know, somebody's wanting to cover a story coverage of Norman Osborn being in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So he offers to go check him out, and he gets there and he runs into Harry, and they kind of talk, they catch up a little bit. And as he's leaving, he sees this blonde headed lady with Flash and Harry. And we learn that it's Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
And this is like when he first met her, and
she gave him the look.
Yeah. And you know, there's other stuff that happens. He decides to go buy a motorcycle to get around
and impress Gwen a little
bit. Yeah. Impress Gwen. One of the last scenes is him driving off with Gwen clutching to him. And then a shadowed figure knocks on the door of Aunt May's house and starts talking to him, or talking to her. And we're just like, I wonder who this is, because it doesn't say, but we will find out in issue 2. Oh, yes, we will.
Yeah, so this has just kind of been narrated the whole time by Peter. And essentially it's just, all right, we're going to get a very quick overlook at him fighting Green Goblin, his relationship with Harry, mm-hmm. and when he first met Gwen. And you'll kind of find that the bulk of these issues kind of have that same thing. Like, yeah. they're very surface level, they're very simple. You need zero point of reference
yeah.
for any of this to jump in. So I would kind of argue that this is like one of the best.
Yeah.
I've never read Spider-Man comics. I want to get caught up relatively quick. What do I do?
If you don't need
Spider-Man Blue.
If you don't need an origin story.
Right.
Then yeah, this is good. This yeah. is a great one. That's kind of what we went with a lot of these that mm-hmm. we picked. Like Back to the Basics is another one that's pretty right. good. Gives you a good intro. One More Day is one if you want to
yeah.
establish something for the, and Kraven's yeah. Last Hunt is just a good one. So right. yeah,
I would argue Kraven's Last Hunt is the one that requires the most kind of
yeah.
backstory or information to kind of, because we're diving into just like the absolute making and what builds and creates Spider-Man, what makes him tick, you yeah. know, and why that's interesting. So, but all of these are definitely go down a little easier, mm-hmm. I will say. Also love this cover for issue 2 with Gwen Stacy as yeah. the backdrop and
Peter the covers are across. Covers are all pretty striking for yeah. this. Mm-hmm. So as we start, I like this. Spider-Man is just hanging, reading an article that he, you know, took yeah, the pictures for
page.
In front of a little newspaper stand. The guy's like, you going to buy it? This ain't a library or something like that. And as when Spider-Man zips off, somebody with very menacing eyes steps up and takes it. And this is like the first time we see this person we'll keep seeing for a while. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was just kind of the introduction of this mystery person. And then we jump to, I guess they're in college. This looks like a high school lab to me, but anyway.
Like a small community college.
Yeah, like Flash and Gwen. I don't know if Harry's there, probably not. But they're all just kind of working. And I think it's just trying to give
They're flirting a little bit the first time, and they invite each over for a study session.
Introduction of how Flash is a jerk to Peter, you know. But then all of a sudden we realize that somebody has broken the Rhino out of where he's been in isolation. Mm-hmm. And Peter swings off to go fight him. And over the course of the fight, a little piece of his suit breaks off.
Yes.
So since we already know that Peter has a bit of a science bent, not a bit, mm-hmm. he's very scientific, but he goes and takes it while still dressed as Spider-Man to Dr. Kurt Connors, who actually we've probably talked about him. Have we talked about him on this show yet? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's the Lizard.
Okay. I was trying to decide if we wanted to hold on to that for a minute.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. So Kurt Connors is missing an arm and he's been working for a long time to try to figure out how to regrow it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Peter brings this little piece of the suit to him, and Kurt Connors is able to help him come up with something that Peter goes back out and starts fighting the Rhino, and he has these polymers or whatever in his webs mm-hmm. that eventually break down the suit. And meanwhile, the Rhino's just sitting there as his suit is literally melting off of him.
Yeah, this was a hilarious panel. There we go.
And so it ends, and
I'm going to do that exact thing for Halloween.
And the mystery man is once again looking on. So then Peter goes home, and basically he's talking to Aunt May, and somebody rings the doorbell. And
this is right when Peter's about to go to that study session with Gwen.
Yeah.
He goes, somebody rings the doorbell.
And little MJ, the daughter of a friend of his mother, you know, he's comes to the door. And I think at some point in this, he's talking about, what do I care about MJ? You know, he's like, she's just a little girl, not important at all. And then she opens the door and she looks like your typical 60s bombshell type lady.
They definitely hint at like kind of Aunt May has been trying to set Peter up with MJ, who is her cousin's niece, I think, or something. They're not family, her best friend's niece.
And she opens the door and she's like, face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Go ahead.
One of the books I'm reading, the one that was the continuation. No, it wasn't the continuation. I started reading another random. No, maybe it was the one that started with Brand New Day. Mm-hmm. Does MJ ever become a superhero called Jackpot?
If she does, I'm not aware of it.
Because there is a superhero named Jackpot
in
these books that looks a lot like her. And she keeps calling Spider-Man Tiger. So I'm just like, the parallels are too...
Yeah, that's a lot. If that character exists, I don't know about her, but that'd be very surprising.
Maybe it's from the Clone Saga.
Yeah, I always just interpreted this panel as just her. She, early Mary Jane especially, tends to kind of be feeling herself quite a bit. Like she's aware that she's very pretty, and she's a model, and she's an actress, and, you know, thinks that she's a catch.
Yeah, so that's how it ends, and you see Parker's just kind of like, oh, well... va-va-voom type of a thing. So,
yeah, a little bit of a hubba-bubba moment. So now he's got the hots for two gals.
Yep.
Let me pull up.
Though I will say, based on how he's talking, even in the moment and the narration, it does seem like, Mary Jane's there and it's complicating things, but he's still dead set on Gwen at this point.
Hold on, my comic.
What you looking for? Being dumb. Oh, you haven't met. Well, you want me to go ahead and start three while you're digging?
Yeah, go ahead. You can just watch and try to talk about it.
I feel like we're in happy days here for a little while. Flash is basically trying to move in on MJ and Gwen at the same time and not understanding why both of them seem to be fixated on Peter at the moment. And for whatever reason, they're just sitting there talking, and the way that Gwen and MJ get along, it almost seems like they're both toying with each other as much as they are with Peter. But Gwen is kind of looking on like, there's something that MJ has with this guy that I don't have yet, and I want it. And then a news briefing comes on of the lizard, and MJ looks at him, and she's like, isn't this something you need to take care of? And you're like, wait, what is he? And then we find she's talking about to get pictures.
Right.
So he jumps on to his bike, and he was like, how am I going to get through? You know, I can't just walk up to it. And she was like, leave that to me. Mm-hmm. And so she basically, they roll up on the crime scene. She distracts the cop in time for him to run in there with his camera.
Right.
You know, but then in this place where the lizard is, he finds the lizard's wife and son who, you know, they have a history. So he's just talking about them, talking to them, and goes off looking for the lizard. And they fight. And it's obvious, in case we haven't said, when Kirk Connors is the lizard, he knows nothing of Kirk Connors.
Right.
So it's just like Spider-Man is having to fight him, like legit fight. And finally they're, you know, he kind of knocks him out. And I think we have a little bit of like kind of jumping back to a few places here, or else he got away for a minute. That's right.
Right.
Because we have like one page that comes in where him and MJ are talking again. But regardless, Spider-Man tracks him back to his lab where he restrains him with webs and apparently has a cure, you know, so something that either he whipped up or Dr. Connors did, and he's able to administer it literally just as the wife is like turning the key to open up the lab, and they walk in and they all embrace and everything's great. Everything's hunky-dory. And then we have a little closing scene where Harry Osborn is basically asking, hey, Peter, what's the deal with MJ? You care if I ask her out?
And also, do you want to live with me?
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty important part.
Yeah, so in one fatal sweep, he goes for what he thinks is Peter's girl and also says, hey, will you be my roommate? It's free.
Hey, roomie.
Yeah. Got time to keep going?
You want to take a quick break? Catch our breath?
Cool. Let's catch our break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. I always like the way for it to drop down a little bit.
Like whenever you were pointing, I thought you were saying, you take it.
Oh, no. We're back with issue 4 of Spider-Man Blue, and Drew's going to keep on keeping on.
So we enter Aunt May's house, which I've got to say, I always picture it like we saw it in Queens, you know, like row houses, just these houses after houses. This looks more like a nice little neighborhood up in northern New York. Anyway, that's not important. So Aunt May and Peter need to have a talk. They both like actually say it at the same time. And I think they're actually both wanting the same thing.
Yeah.
But Aunt May is like, so look, I think I'm going to move in with MJ's aunt. Is that okay? And you know, they kind of have a talk, and she was like, and by the way, I do think you need to move in with Harry.
Right.
That sounds like a good idea.
He was worried that she would be upset that he was leaving to go live with Harry. She was worried about the same thing.
Peter's like, were you listening? She's like, well, Harry's voice kind of carries. And I've always got to keep an eye on that boy. And she also makes a comment about MJ. She's like, if you want MJ, you need to tell Harry.
Right.
So it's funny, like just this quick, like Aunt May, the wise.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to a prison. I don't know where it is, but it doesn't matter. And we see a guy who, just from the first frame, my assumption is Vulture.
Yeah.
And that is. And somebody's like attacking him, trying to get the information of like where, like, we know you, there's got to be a set of wings out there somewhere. And and he finally tells him. And then a guard comes up and pulls him away. And then we have a little it looks like Aunt May being dropped off at MJ's aunt. I don't remember what her name was.
Yeah.
And
something Watson.
Astute. And Peter's walking her in, and MJ comes out and kind of flirts as she hops into Harry's car and drives off.
They kind of discuss that they're going to have a party later for kind of
a housewarming party. That's right. Yeah. And speaking of the housewarming party, it's the night of, and, somebody has broken out of
the prison.
I'm good at words.
Yeah, words are hard, man.
Yeah. So, and they go to the location where supposedly the wings have been left, and he finds them. That it's the dude that was like roughing him up. He has been, you know, the store age old story of sneaking him out in the laundry. It's like, I guess they don't have on site laundry.
I just watched Shawshank Redemption yesterday.
Yeah.
Red is a guy that knows how to get you things.
Was it for the first time?
Oh no.
Okay.
For the better part of 20 years, it was my favorite film. Yeah. I was actually, I watched it with Rodney virtually. He had never seen it and he loved it. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's very rated R.
Yeah. So anyway, Peter is like swinging his way to get to his housewarming.
Yes.
And you can see that. I think this is like a throwback, because I remember whenever I was listening to My Marvelous Year, they talked a little bit about MJ's go-go dancing and stuff like that. And I think that they're Jeff Loeb and the artists are trying to recapture that, because MJ and
Gwen
are like dancing in front of these giant picture windows, and Flash is just looking out because he thought he saw Spider-Man zip by.
Yeah.
And Peter even makes a comment. He's like, I love doing this to Flash.
All right. That's the running joke like forever, right? Is Flash Thompson always beats up on Peter Parker and is simultaneously his self-proclaimed biggest fan of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So it would probably ruin him if he knew the kid that he thought was a nerd. Yeah.
I thought about that the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, what did... Oh, wait. No, we did know. Never mind. Forget that. I don't remember
nothing.
What I was saying. Yeah. So anyway, while he's zipping through the air, Vulture comes and slips, cuts his web.
His webs, yeah. With his wings.
Spider's like, you're not the one I know. And basically what happens is they get into a fight, and that's kind of where it ends. We see that Spider-Man didn't make it to his story. Or his story. What am I saying?
To the party.
Words are hard. he didn't make it to his party because he kind of got knocked out by...
Yeah, this is Blackie Drago, or yes. Drago. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about other incarnations of the Vulture, but I guess at one point this guy was the Vulture for a while.
But he kind of knocks him out, and Spider-Man, the issue ends with him like blacking out, laying in a pile of snow on a rooftop while everybody's having a big old party back at the new
show up.
Home site.
Yeah. And it's like also just to kind of keep the thing going, he's talking about, he's recollecting that he knew that like both Mary Jane and Gwen were waiting for him to
Words
show
is
up.
Hard.
Yeah. Glenn Stampy.
Okay. So.
On to issue 5.
And this one kind of picks up the next morning where Harry like very suspiciously opens the door and he's like, oh, so you're finally here. You missed the party. And Peter comes walking in. And he's like not feeling so well, because it shows like an imprint of where he had like fallen and, you know, laid for a little while in the snow. And that mystery figure is sniffing.
How about this house, though, that he's living at for free?
Yeah. Anytime I see square footage, like A, in New York, but just B, anywhere, I get jealous, because right now I ain't got it. Not that I need a ton of square footage, but that's just...
Yeah, this place is massive, and it is in New York, so it's just a little bit of an Osborne flex, I think.
There are three stories within this one story.
Right.
Like, it's
some
just
high
too
ceilings.
Big. Yeah, high ceilings with these giant windows.
Yeah.
That's more than... He pays
Pretty
more
cool.
in a month than I pay in a year.
Wish somebody would ask me to live there for free.
Yeah. Come on, Harry. Harry Osborne. I'm okay if you eventually become a supervillain.
Yeah.
I'll move in with you. So anyway, we jump back and we see the Vulture, who like the old Vulture who was laying in a hospital bed. And actually, I guess he's probably in jail still
in the prison in a special room.
Basically, we see that somebody's talking to him. They knock him out and
it's the same ominous figure.
Yeah. They're like, you know, you just got poisoned. Yeah. You know, what always happened. You know, what is always on the other side of a poisoning, the antidote that I have right here. So anyway, then we go back to the next morning, not back to, we go forward to the next morning. Words is hard. And Peter is sick in bed.
Yeah.
And MJ brings him some of his, or I'm pronouns are hard too. Aunt May brings what?
MJ.
Aunt May.
MJ brings Peter Parker some breakfast in bed is what Drew is
saying. Well, the reason I keep dropping aunts because it's her aunt's recipe.
Sure, yes.
So I'm mixing ants. Yeah. I'm missing MJ Aunt May. They have the same syllables, similar sounds.
Also, I'm just going to make this comment one time. There are, I've said it before in the podcast, sometimes I have an issue with faces. They can be a little weird to me. Some of these faces, like look at MJ's face here. This is a little bit Stepford Wife animatronic. I don't know. Sometimes the faces are a little weird to me in this, but I won't talk about it for the rest of the comic, I promise. They can draw a face better than I can.
So while MJ is feeding Parker, Peter Parker, Gwen walks in and, you know, you just have this moment where they want to go to a show somewhere. Yeah,
theater play.
And they're trying to convince Peter to go with them. And he was like, I'm sick. I shouldn't be doing this. And while this conversation's happening, he sees Vulture fly by the window.
Right.
And he's like, oh, crap. Maybe he would have gone with him if he hadn't seen that.
I forgot also, Gwen was trying to read The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn to him. So like both of these girls are trying to get Peter Parker. They're chasing him. And then the guys, I think, also comment on this. They're like, why is Peter up there with both these women sitting in his bed trying to take care of him? They're like, they're just like, he's a nerd.
Yep.
Why is this working?
It's the age of the nerd. So they leave and you see Peter just standing there watching two vultures fight now. Yeah. And he puts on his outfit and goes after him. I love this, that one of them is carrying a giant bag with a dollar sign on it.
Well, naturally, that's...
I mean, you don't see that as much in nowadays comics.
Right.
But that used to be a thing. So anyway, they fight, and the bag starts to fall, and one of them runs into a gargoyle-type thing, and that starts to fall. And of course, Flash is down there, and the bag of money drops in front of him.
Yeah.
And Peter, like, swoops in and gets him just before the gargoyle head falls.
I like to think that bag of money is just his man bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a designer. It's like slightly ironic because he knows who he is.
Yeah. And he sets him down on the roof and he's like, now I expect you to give that money back, all of it. And as he's zipping off, he's like, you know, Flash is one of my biggest fans. I give him a hard time kind of as payback for him being a jerk to me as a kid, but maybe I should be nicer to him. Anyway, he gets back and he continues fighting the vultures. And we don't really see the end of the fight so much. It's just kind of like he takes care of a few of them, and then he's back in his, I said, he takes care of a few of them, as if there's more than two vultures.
Well, you don't know. I mean, in the multiverse, yes.
Yes. Then we're back in Harry's pad, and he's walking down in his robe, feeling a little bit better, I guess.
And Flash is recollecting how this awesome day he had with Spider-Man saving him.
Was this where he decides, where he says, you know, I was watching this, you know, thinking about all that Spider-Man's done, and what have I done for my life? So I decided to do something.
Yep.
I joined the army.
That's correct.
And so they're going to have a party for him later. But kind of the end credit scene for this one, that mystery figure we see is holding a piece of Spider-Man's outfit that seems to have been torn, and he's just sniffing it.
Yeah. If you've listened to the last couple episodes, or if you're a longtime Spider-Man fan, you're probably picking up by now or have before who this figure
is. I didn't.
I was there, but also, I mean, maybe not.
But yeah, he's not just sniffing it, but he's sniffed it and followed the scent, and he's standing there looking in those gigantic windows at the crew congratulating Flash for joining the army.
Yep, and that is the end of issue 5. We're going on to issue 6, the final one of the series.
Yep. So this one drops us in to that mysterious figure who's apparently has a giant screen, which based on just the look of all of this,
I feel
that makes more sense. Oh yeah, it is, because he literally throws the projector in a second. Mm-hmm. That completely just changes what I was about to say.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, he's watching him fight the Scorpion, Doc Ock, I think, and all these different people. And in frustration, he kicks the projector and runs off.
I feel like it's important to say, through this whole time, Peter has been narrating this. Remember, he's been recording this whole thing, and he has been kind of telling all of these stories to Gwen, who's no longer there. So, and he's just kind of reminiscing about her and talking about how much he misses her and all the blown opportunities of him. Every time he's left to go fight,
like, what if
he's
I left just Gwen. Stayed?
What if I just stayed? Yeah. You know, so that's been a reoccurring theme that we should mention.
So, Peter, it's apparently Valentine's Day because he has a Valentine, And Harry comes in saying, hey, can I use some of your aftershave? You know, and he's like, why not yours? And he's like, that's all the way in my office or in my other room. Mm-hmm. So he tosses it to him. MJ walks in. So does MJ or Gwen and then MJ. I should call him Gwim J.
You can.
So, and everybody's showing up for this party for Flash. And, you know, tons of people. Everybody's, you know, Flash is up there giving a toast or giving a speech and everybody's toasting him. And as that happens, Peter's Spidey sense goes off. And who comes jumping in through the window but the guy from the last episode we just recorded, Kraven the Hunter, who has been apparently pulling the strings behind all of this to make this happen.
I'll say this depiction of him looks way more YMCA than the Kraven's last hunt.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, still a threat.
Still has a giant face on his chest, which is interesting. So while this is all happening, Peter, like everybody's running away, you know, fleeing the scene, and Peter runs up to supposedly get his camera. At least that's what he tells Gwim J. And he jumps into his spider suit and then chases him off because, oh, I didn't mention this. Kraven grabbed, what's his face?
Harry.
Yeah. I wonder why. Oh, he smells like.
Yeah, so we end issue 5 of him like getting the scent.
Of Peter's aftershave.
Issue 6 starts with Harry putting on that same scent. So he grabs Harry thinking that he is Spider-Man.
Anyway, so they fight and he's able to kind of just pretty easily take him out according to these pages. And in the middle of it, Norman Osborn comes in.
Right.
And I guess he's better, you know. And when I saw this, I was kind of thinking, we're almost done with this story. He's not going to Green Goblin up on us. But part of me wanted him to, just for how that would complicate the story. But no, apparently he's just grateful, you know, thankful for him helping Harry and all that stuff. And so Peter heads back and he's in his room and Gwen just
We mention also that he's been kind of worried this whole time that Norman's going to suddenly remember.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's also why I was wondering if he was going to remember something, but it doesn't seem that he does.
Right.
So anyway, Gwen catches an eyeful of Peter as he's changing with all of his muscles on muscles. I think he has a 34-pack, according to the way this is drawn. Anyway, she comes in and says, will you be my Valentine? Kind of alluding maybe that mystery Valentine he had earlier was from her.
Yeah.
And they kiss, and okay, this next part, I can't remember exactly what he's saying, but he's like getting real, talking about how much he loved her and like all this stuff. And we see, this is finally, we are back in the present.
Yeah, we're watching Peter record this stuff right here, and I will just preface what you're about to say. These next couple pages, maybe it's just 2 pages, sold this entire story for me. I was kind of low on it, honestly, before getting here.
So maybe you remember better. I don't want to just sit here and read it all, but essentially he is saying a lot of like real deep things about his true feelings for Gwen and how Gwen, if it weren't for Gwen, he wouldn't be the man he was because of everything that happened. And then Peter looks up and sees MJ has been watching.
Well, he actually tells Gwen, like, after your death, MJ came to see me and like was there for me during this whole thing. And this whole string of events led to MJ becoming his wife.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, MJ walks in at this moment while he's recording.
And, you know, programmed to be somebody who expects drama at every turn on TV.
Right.
I'm wondering if she's going to blow up. But he was like, how long have you been there? And she's like, I've heard how much have you
said
here?
Long enough.
Long enough. And she closes by saying, just tell Gwen I said hi.
Yeah.
You know, just like, okay. So,
yeah, there's like this wonderful understanding that like MJ loves Peter so much to know that. Yes, he loved another woman. She's dead, and her husband hurts because of this because he lost somebody, you know, and she's mature enough to know, like, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love her as well. And she just, it's a very nice, down-to-earth moment. Even the way MJ is drawn here is a little more, like, subdued. Like, it's showing her.
She's not the va-va-voom. She's just, like, more mature. She knows.
Right. So it's a great charactered moment. On top of all of this, where we just had like 5.5 issues of her being, you know, just this kind of flirty fireball. It just brings this humanity to the character. And it's really incredible because, for real, up until this, I've read a lot of Spider-Man. So, like, it's kind of like a, I'm just felt like I was reading a recap more than a lot of things.
Which I really feel like that's kind of what it was.
Which was valuable for a lot of people, I think. But because of these last two pages, I feel like this is more than just a recap now. This actually kind of develops the greater relationship between Peter and MJ. It's just a really good moment in it, in my opinion. Takes this from what was probably like just a B to me up to like an A.
Yeah. So, yeah, I dug it. It took me a while to get my head wrapped around the art, but I think it did a lot to make you feel like, okay, this is supposed to capture kind of that, you know, Archie type of timeline, you know, where things were, you know.
Yeah, the style in general, like, insinuates nostalgia, I guess. I don't know if that's the correct way to say that, but like it makes you, you know, there's a certain like skill to be had when you're drawing and you want to depict a flashback. You know, how do you do that? Well, there's like a certain look that is nostalgic for comic book readers in general. And honestly, just some of older comic books, you know, this definitely does not look like a modern comic book. Even 20 years ago, there were stuff that would still fly today as like, oh, that looks pretty modern. But this is definitely very stylized to kind of invoke those memories, I think. Yeah, really good story. Mostly a recap, but again, those last couple pages really
hit it
home for me.
I didn't even know Gwen Stacy was a thing whenever I watched the Sam Raimi movies.
Oh, really?
You know, she popped up at the end of one of them, I think. But then I would hear like people talking about, oh, yeah, Gwen Stacy. And they're like, oh, she must be important. And
Peter's first.
Realized it was, yeah, she was the first. So, yeah, it's interesting. You get to meet several villains that are, you know, big time for him. Four of the main, well, five of the main relationships that he has. So, it's a good read, and it's short, you know. Mm-hmm. It reads pretty fast.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What did you think, Tori?
Based on what we said.
Yeah, based on what you said, because I already failed at my resolution of...
I still think your batting average is higher than it was last year.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Overall, though, enjoy the ideas, the concepts.
I did, yeah. It was very, like you were saying, just sort of the pastiche was kind of Archie-ish. And the Gwen Stacy and the MJ relationship between them and Peter. But yeah, that's just what I gleaned from hearing you talk about just now.
Yeah. I mean, it's solid. I still think you should read it. Now, this Spider-Man Blue is not the only
There's
project like this. There's kind of a this color theme. I think they do Daredevil Yellow.
Yeah.
There's ones several like that, X-Men Gold. Well, or I don't see, know. No, that's not. Those are different.
The X-Men color shade ones are totally different.
Right.
But yeah, I think there were several like this.
Maybe there's a Wolverine, I don't know, something black or I don't know. But I think they're all in the same vein, like kind of giving a recap while adding a little bit of just character development.
I will say the X-Men are like teams. X-Men Gold is a team. X-Men Gold Blue is a team. Yeah, so those are separate. That's different.
But Daredevil Yellow is the one that comes to mind.
I think I should check that out. So.
Maybe there's a red. Who's a red character?
I think that there is. Yeah, there's... That would be the primary colors. So there's got to be somebody that's red.
Red, I don't know.
Who knows? But yeah, so enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you're ready, I guess we can jump over to our trivia.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready with the faster then?
No.
We'll start talking and see if something comes out. We're going to move on to our two-man lightning round trivia where the questions are faster than the snipping of the web from the Vulture 2.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, not as... It was much quicker than me coming up with it.
Right.
So I currently have 2 points.
Dos.
Alex has 1 point.
Uno.
And we have a few more of these left. So you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
There have been many writers don the Spider-Man comic during the history of Marvel. Can you tell me which writer has the longest running time spent writing Spider-Man? This guy wrote Spider-Man for a hot minute.
I feel like I know.
You've definitely heard of this person.
That was a gross sound. I'm sorry. I just made that. No, I mean, as soon as you say it, I'm going to punch you in the face because I know it. But
that's exactly that.
I can't think. Was it back in the 60s, 70s?
No.
Oh.
It's pretty modern.
Then I don't know. Then let me just pick one out of the air. Dan Slott.
That is correct.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was a total guess yeah. on my part.
Yeah. Dan Slott started on Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1, number 648 in 2010 and wrote Among Amazing Spider-Man, also Superior Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man Volume 3, Volume 4, a whole bunch of other stuff, and then a reboot for Volume when it went back to Volume 1. Wow. For 8 years, he was on Spider-Man.
Because I was thinking of somebody who had a long run back in like the 60s.
Yeah.
But
I think Stan Lee and Steve Ditko did it for a long time.
The person that came in after them is the one that I was trying to think of, and I can't think who that is. But anyway, yeah. Wow, I have 3 points.
You have 3 points. You're killing it. Dan Slott being on a book for 8 years, maybe that doesn't sound crazy to you, but that is not normal. Like yeah. Now it's like, oh, you get 6 issues and then you're moving on, or you get 12 issues and you're moving on. Or if you're lucky and you catch your lightning in a bottle, like Al Ewing was just on Hulk for 50 issues, which is a long time. Mm-hmm. If you get a couple of years of the character, it's a big deal. Dan Slott being on Spider-Man for 8 years is really just doesn't happen anymore.
Nice.
Pretty wild.
Well, mine is just from this random chunk of trivia that I found. Mm-hmm. I did jokingly mention something about a clone. I can't remember who I was talking about. But what was the name of Peter Parker's clone?
Oh, didn't know he had a clone.
I don't know if this is from the Clone Saga or if it's something else or...
Nathan Thomas.
No.
I have no idea.
Benjamin Riley.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. I thought maybe you had read something and you would know that.
No.
I don't know what it is.
No idea.
Here, actually, it says something. Also known as the Scarlet Spider.
Okay.
That makes sense. Was Peter Parker's clone. He first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man in 1975. Yeah. 149. So, yeah, that would have been during the Clone Saga.
Yep. I haven't read any of that.
I only know from my Marvelous year. I just made it to 84. So
I'm in the 90s. So okay. And it's been, I definitely did not read along in the 70s. So
I'm just binge listening.
Yeah, same.
So. Do you have one, Torrance?
I do.
Maybe I'll get more points.
Another round of Name That Supervillain.
Huzzah.
It is 3-1 now, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome.
This Spider-Man supervillain turned to a life of crime after being struck by a bolt of lightning.
Electro.
Yeah. I wasn't quick enough. So it's different than it was in the movie? It wasn't electric eels?
He fell in a vat of electric eels. I don't believe that was it. Electro. I'm keeping it close.
Yeah.
Keeping it interesting.
That's good.
For a bonus point, do you know what job he had?
Was he...
Tech support?
Electrician?
He was a lineman.
Okay.
That's what I meant, yeah. Well, I guess those are not the same thing. Electrician works in your home. They don't also scale poles. Okay. Well, that's been it.
Yep. That was Spider-Man Blue.
Spider-Man Blue, Jeff Loeb, and
Quick
Tim
read.
Sale.
Yeah, if you super want some nostalgia. Easy.
Jump in. Again, I seriously think it's worth reading just for those last two pages alone because of... I'm just a sucker for some humanity, yo.
Yeah.
I like when people are nice to each other and things are grounded and we all just get along.
Like that's why we like Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Ted Lasso.
I think I'm about to make Holly watch it with me so I can rewatch it.
I didn't know she had seen it.
She saw episodes, but she was watching Twitch the whole time.
Dang it, Holly.
So anyway, we kind of mentioned that next week we're going to cover Spider-Man Back to Basics, which is the 2018 run of Amazing Spider-Man, I think. Wasn't it Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes. Nick
Spencer. That reboots as a number one. I think we'll cover the first 5-ish.
Yep.
The first one's like really long, so it's more like 6. But it kind of wraps up with a little cliffhanger type thing. Really interesting storyline. So if you want to read that and not have us spoil it for you, then you got a week.
Get after it. Join our Discord. Follow us on social media. Like and subscribe. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you are international and you listen and you have done that already and we have not read it, it's because we still do not know how to access those. If you know how, we can switch our region. I've even used a VPN.
Or you could
switch.
If you've left us a review and you keep wondering why we haven't, screenshot it.
Yes, yeah, send it a link. Do anything. We want to read it. We want to thank you for it. Share this podcast with a loved one. Share it with a hated one. And we'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. See ya. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Exactly. I'm going to race you there. I'm going. Oh no, I didn't make it.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
God, the Amazing Spider-Man.
Nick Spencer.
By Nick Spencer.
First five issues.
First five issues.
Yeah.